Talita Koum. Little girl, get up. She's not dead, she's asleep. And of course, for our Lord, that which to us appears to be death is not necessarily death. On this day celebrated and dedicated to the Blessed Mother, and of course, in this particular day of the calendar of the liturgical year, it is also the solemn feast of the Apostles St. Peter and St. Paul. What a wonderful gift and image we have from God for the beautiful readings that have been given to us for this particular Sunday. And of course, people are usually very alarmistic and all up in arms about just any old thing. Our Lord here gives us some balance into the way things are. And from the Book of Wisdom, the Book of Ecclesiastes, he tells us that he has not created death, because we created death, Adam and Eve, by succumbing to the temptations, to the seductions of the serpent, Satan. We created death and everything that goes with it, which we so suffer, unfortunately. But God did not create death, nor doth he wish his children to die. But he does not go against their free will. And so God, in order that we might have the life which he intended for us to have from the very first day, from the beginning, at the beginning of the book of Genesis, before Adam and Eve sinned, then comes himself, the second person of the Trinity. The Son of God is sent by the Father in order that he might give us life by his death, that he might enrich us by his poverty, of which St. Paul speaks so beautiful in the Epistle of the Corinthians. And so too, in all the things that are going on in the world and in the church in particular today, which are not the will of God, but permitted by God, and for which we must pray that his creative will, his living will, which is still here, which has not gone anywhere, will continue to help us to resolve the many, many problems which we have to deal with in this day and age. And so we have the beautiful parable, or not parable, episode, it's not a parable, of the daughter of Jairus, the synagogue official. He may have been the sacristan. Who knows what he was? It doesn't say us what he was. He was not one of the priests or one of the Levites. He was an official in the synagogue, not the temple in Jerusalem either. And so he asked for him. He has faith. He has heard about this Jesus Christ. And he sends for him. Master, my daughter is at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her. That's all it would take. In fact, it would even take less than that. But in this case, unlike the centurion's child, whom he just willed to come back to life, in this case, our Lord wanted to go. Why? He took with him the three most important of the apostles, St. Peter, the first pope, whose feast we celebrate today, St. James and St. John, the sons of Zebedee, or Cleophas, who were a great influence in the very beginnings of the church. St. James would be the first apostle to be killed, the one to whom the Blessed Mother made the first apparition in Spain in the year 40, by the river Ebro, where the city of Cesaro Augusta, or known in Spanish as Zaragoza, is, Our Lady of the Pillar. And then he was the one who went back to Jerusalem for the Council of Jerusalem in 49 AD and was put to death in order to appease the Jews who hated the Christians. And so from this evil, something good happens. But because of this very important role in the life of the church, our Lord wanted him to be there. and his brother, John, the beloved disciple, his best friend, his beloved disciple, the one whom he loved, as it's often spoken of in the scriptures. He was the one who would write the last book of the Bible, the Apocalypse, and he was the one to whom Jesus would commend his holy mother on the cross. As he commended her to St. John, he commended her to us, and we to her, to be our mother. In the meantime, we have this episode within an episode, a very good literary work that is done, a story within a story within a story. On his way to the house of Jairus, a woman who had heard about him, who had suffered from hemorrhages, and as some of us had suffered for years at the hands of doctors with no results. Been there, done that, haven't we? She says, "There he is, I've heard about him." And she has such faith in him, she says, "If I can only," and of course this translation is, you know, like usual, very poor, "if I can only touch the tassel of his prayer mantle." They wore a prayer mantle, white and blue, and the whiter the stripes, the more important the person. And then there were tassels in white and blue. And she could only touch one of those, she would be healed. And so she went through the crowd, and she did. And the moment she touched his cloak, immediately she was healed. And of course our Lord knows it. He knows everything. We cannot hide anything from him. She could not hide anything from him either. He says, "Who has touched my clothing? Who has touched my cloak?" And the disciples are saying, "Are you crazy? Everybody's touching you and you say, 'Who touched my clothes?'" But he did not listen to them. He only listens to us when we make sense, not when we do not make sense. And this did not make sense to him. And he's the ruler, the Lord of all the universe. At that moment, the woman realized that he had realized that she touched him. And she came forward. And then, of course, it says, "Your faith has healed you." Faith. Faith in what? Faith in this microphone? Faith in this piece of paper? Faith in this pulpit made of wood? Which is a second-class relic, by the way, of Archbishop Sheen. But it is not that which heals. It is God. And of course, he gives us many means of his grace and the increase of his grace. And so, your faith in me, he is saying, in me who am the Son of God, that faith has healed you. And that is what we also need to have. Now, this woman here is unnamed, but she is named everywhere else. This woman, Bernice, was one of her names. Therapia Bernice. She was the cousin of King Herod. And immediately her blood flowed, her hemorrhage ceased. And that she was never going to forget, she was never going to give up her gratitude to God. And this is such a very, very, very important virtue that we do not cherish enough. Gratitude to God or to each other. Later on, as Christ was about to offer the sacrifice through which he gave us eternal life, and of course Monday we celebrate the feast of his most precious blood, and the month of July is dedicated to the most precious blood, because St. Peter tells us, "You are not bought by the blood of goats and heifers, but by the blood of the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ." Blood. Something in common here. The hemorrhage. This woman was not to forget. And while he was carrying the cross, she saw him and she rushed towards him. fearlessly again. And she took her beautiful veil that she had on her head, which was very, very costly, which was made from the thread of the shells of mussels. There's only one person in the world today that can do this, and she may be dead already, I do not know. And this cloth does not hold ink or dye. This is what we see in the pyramids in Egypt and all the other different drawings and paintings in Egypt, that the pharaoh and the pharaoh's wife seem to be like naked. That's because they're using this cloth of byssus, which is not able to be dyed. So it was transparent. And so she takes this veil and puts it to his face. And Therapia Pernice is then known as Veronica, because he left on her veil the true icon, Vera Icona, Veronica, of his face, which is still kept in the Vatican Basilica, one of the tribunes that surrounds the papal altar. So everything comes around. And so he goes finally to the house of the daughter of Jairus, and they ridicule him because they think she's dead. And they're all crying and carrying on, as was the custom. And he throws them all out. He doesn't care what they think. Remember that. God doesn't care what anybody thinks. He does what is right. And then he tells her, get up. And then he asks them to give her something to eat. The appetite is a sign of good health. Now, some people are very, very healthy, unfortunately. But anyway, the appetite is a sign of good health. And I don't know who I'm looking at. Anyway, thanks be to God. He gives us so many wonderful things. And he gave life to this little girl. And I'm sure elsewhere in the gospel she is to be found. And she used to be one of the heroines of the early church, which we celebrate so very, very fruitfully today. Even in these times of dire circumstances, in these times when the church is torn aside by schism, not by those who accuse, but by those who are carrying out on their own, who will have to answer to God, as all of us do and will. Through the intercession of St. Veronica, of St. Peter, James, and John, and St. Paul, whose feast is also today, and through our Blessed Mother, Mother of the Church, we plead for our Church and for the liturgy, for the restoration of the true liturgy, and not the destruction of the Church or the faith by the Masons who have taken over. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.